Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining us, as always, is Chris Soloci, and she's back, folks, Teresa Sammons. Say hi to the good folks, guys.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so, yes, the trio has finally been reunited. So this show is going to be for April 9th, 2022. And obviously, as it has been for the last few weeks, our still big primary story is the ongoing invasion of the Ukraine by Russia. I keep saying the Ukraine. It's just supposed to be Ukraine. But obviously there were some other major stories that happened, including the fact that technically it won't be official for another couple of months, but we have a new Supreme Court justice. That was confirmed this week. It's going to be interesting to see where things go once she is she's in the court, because she's replacing a very kind of middle of the road liberal, and she's much more of a progressive. And it's going to be interesting seeing how she ends up affecting the court.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not the only stuff we got this week. We also got a final report from the IPCC on climate change. There is good news and there's bad news. And, of course, we've also got the fallout from the slap heard around the world. Although, frankly, it's pretty tame compared to some of the shit that's happened at the Academy Awards in the past. But we'll be getting to that. We got all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off as we always have. Let's start off with, the stuff we've been doing leading up to today. So, we'll start with you, Chris, as always. What have you been doing this week?
Dealing with winter and spring, not sure who is doing what at what time.
Yeah.
As it's constantly back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Here, though we've been getting rain here the last few days.
Yeah.
That has made it more like a cold winter rain. Even right now, it's still raining a bit, but it's just under 40 degrees.
Yeah.
To make sure you don't want to go outside anytime soon. But yeah, for things I've been watching, I watched the fifth season of Better Call Saul, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That is on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
Went through it. Very good stuff.
Mm.
Looking forward to seeing what the next season is going to do, because it's essentially leading towards an ultimate confrontation, I guess, of sorts. Though you have a pretty good idea who's going to come out ahead based on who makes it to Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really that much suspense, but they have been bringing back more of the characters that were in Breaking Bad here, so that's pretty neat. Enjoying that a lot. Let's see, I finished up The Last Bus.
Mm-hmm.
The whole season there. That is a very weird show.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ends in a way that's like, the billionaire that supposedly killed everybody, he's maybe not so bad after all.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess that's a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just making them the bad guy and then introducing other things that are going on, I guess, at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's going to be a season two for this show. But they kind of leave it very bland. Ending for the season, so maybe there's a season two, I don't know. It'd be fine if there wasn't. I also started this show called Old Enough. That is a Japanese reality show where so far it's been moms sending out their like toddlers to do tasks for them, like errands. that's with no parental supervision other than like the camera guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
First one, the mom sends her kid to the grocery store to get food for to make curry for dinner. Because I guess the grandma's going to come by. So he sends them out, and I guess they coach him up a little bit
mm-hmm.
on that. The moms do. The second one involves the kid that's at this orchard with his mom and grandparents. And they're like, oh, we got a bunch of these mandarin oranges. Why don't you go mm-hmm. home and make some juice so we can have a nice break.
Mm-hmm.
And they let the mom call the kid at home and be like, have you done it yet? Are you fucking around? kind of thing. And the third one involves a kid having to go deliver something to one of the mom's friends. And on the way home, she's like, mom's not feeling good, so I'll get her some vegetables.
Mm.
Like, takes it out of this garden that she finds. It's a pretty fun little cute show. The episodes are not very long, like 7 to 10 minutes. I think it's 20 episodes for what they have on there. So you can kind of get through them pretty quickly. I only watched a few of them, so not that far yet, but it's a nice cute little show.
Mm.
Might trigger something in you, Teresa, if you watch it. I don't know.
Mm.
As an actual parent. But they have like a joke in the third one where the kid's just like looking at the camera guy and the narrator's like, oh, you're not supposed to be talking to the kids. But I think they're allowed to like remind them what's going on so they're not necessarily like having to rely solely on what their like 2 or 3 year old brains can do.
Right.
So I don't think the kids are ever in any danger. But the one has to cross the road with his busy streets. So his mom gives him like a big sign that I assume doesn't actually do anything. I assume they asked everybody to stop for the scene kind of thing. So you can see like the seams of the show stuff. Especially like kids like walking past what he's supposed to buy at the grocery store. Mm. But the camera guy just stays there. So I imagine the kid probably figures, oh, this is where the thing is that I want. Versus trying to remember exactly what they wanted. But yeah, it's a neat little show. Mm. The other thing I've been watching is Moon Knight. The second episode's out now. And it kind of better explains what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what the conflict is and all that. And how the multiple personality thing works, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. I'm still interested in seeing how things go and sort of how it fits into the wider MCU
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, but there's still a few more episodes for that. Let's see, for games I've been playing, there's MLB The Show 22.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been plugging away in that and doing a lot of Diamond Dynasty, which is their big sort of card-based mode. And kind of weirdly, just spending a lot of time on they have a website where you can manage your teams and cards and all that, mm-hmm. and especially like buy stuff and sell stuff, so you don't necessarily have to do it all in the game itself.
Mm.
Especially because that stuff's more the more tedious stuff, so you can kind of do it while you're not playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been that. Been playing more Tunic. Like I have a good idea of what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to get back in. But yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot at this point. Look forward to put some more time into that. And
mm-hmm.
the other thing I've been playing is Rocket League. Mm-hmm. They just been working on the new week's worth of challenges and all that. Mm-hmm. Still enjoying that a lot. So that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Teresa?
Well, we did the spring break thing after not having been able to vacation for a very long time, aside from...
Yeah.
You know, one little trip to a deserted cabin in the middle of Iowa.
mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting to do the whole plane thing again. And It was very, very busy the Sunday coming back. But a great time in South Beach. Enjoyed the 85 degree weather. Came back basically to snow. So I'm trying to ignore it all. It was snowing again yesterday. I've turned my heat back on 3 times this spring. Mm. And usually when I turn it off, I leave it off. But we are on number 3. So yeah, weather, fucky. Same here as everywhere else, I think. I've been watching a ton of TV. We finished the season of Bridgerton. We finished the season of, the only season of Book of Fett so far. We finished the current season of Star Trek Discovery. Started watching this season of Picard. I think we're caught up. I'm pretty sure we're caught up. So, but it's, you know, there's another one coming out this week. Mm-hmm. This coming week. I started What We Do in the Shadows because I just totally missed that one a few years ago. And I fucking love Matt Berry. And I didn't even know he was in that. So, of course, I'm just sitting there like, yes, 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 I'll watch this all day long. Mm-hmm. And it's just hysterical. I have to watch the movie now. That's got to happen. Insane that I didn't watch that before. We're still watching through Harley Quinn. That's another one that, mm-hmm. you know, is like 3 or 4 seasons in and we're just now getting to it. As far as games, like the only thing that I played except for a little bit of Final Fantasy 14 when we got back from Florida, is Civ 6. And I say that's the only thing I've been playing, but I have been playing just countless hours of it. It's ridiculous. I don't know why I'm in that mood, but apparently I'm in that mood. So gonna kind of go with it, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can play what we want, right? yeah, it's pretty much it.
All right. And of course, we did hear that you had to put a little fuzzy baby down, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. So, kidney disease happens. We don't know why.
Yeah.
Her values were great at her last physical 9 months ago, but yeah, today we actually went and picked up her ashes and brought her home. So, and I'm sure you can hear the other one in the background being very loud. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. The only cat in the house at the moment, so.
Yeah, she is, and she is, she's just being really loud. Really loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As for me, I have just basically been playing Elden Ring, and, I'm just about through with it. After you get through the end of, the stuff with the Mountaintop of the Giants, you have to fight the Fire Giant, which is this exactly what it sounds like. It's an enormous giant that has control over fire. He has this enormous, like, bowl thing that he uses as, like, a melee bludgeon weapon. But he also is, like, one of those weird sort of, like, old-timey mythical giants who he has, like, a face on his torso with, like, a single eye on top of the mouth there. And he can use it to, like, spew out, like, lava and ash and stuff. He's honestly not terribly difficult as a boss. The problem is that because of his size, his attacks, you know, pack a wallop and can instant kill you if they hit you directly. But what I will say is, once you finish him and get rid of him, you get to this enormous cauldron to get to this fire. The reason you're getting the fire is because the Erd Tree, which is the thing that you've been making your way towards through the whole game, for whatever reason, is not allowing anybody to enter inside of it so that they can become the new Elden Lord. And you find this out after you end up killing Morgott, who is he's the same guy as Margit the Fellowman, who's like the first major story boss that you face in the game, only stronger. And he basically, after you kill him and, you know, he falls down and Eli's defeated and you decide to talk with him, he tells you, it's like, look, there's the, you think you've won, but the Earth Tree is not accepting anyone. And that ends up being the case. The Earth Tree is accepting nobody. So you have to get this fire so that you can burn the Earth Tree. And as is the case with, like, a lot of, you know, like with Bloodborne, when after one of the major story events happen, it affects the whole world. Just as, like, what happened with fighting General Radahn and killing him ended up opening up a whole new area because this huge falling star comet comes out of the sky and blasts a hole into the Earth, allowing you to go into the Eternal City. Now, wherever you go in the game, if the Earth Tree is in view, you can see it on fire. It's one of those things that I love. It's kind of like with Bloodborne, after you you know, release the sort of illusion from the moon and suddenly you can see that there's Cthulhu's everywhere. It's that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm not making that up, by the way. Bloodborne has some really terrifying shit hiding just underneath the surface. But once you end up getting the fire to burn the Erd Tree, you wake up in this new place that is apparently used to be the home of the dragons. And it's like, it's kind of like this broken up palace city type thing that's like suspended in midair with all these like tornadoes and whirlwinds around it with all the dragons flying around. And up to this point, it is probably the hardest part of the whole game that I've encountered. It's also has, like, one of the hardest bosses I've encountered in the whole game, which is the Godskin duo. But I managed to get them, and now I'm just making my way to the end of that. And I think after that, I've got the last final boss of the game, which is the Elden Beast. But I guess we'll see. But, yeah, other than that, reading books as usual. Nothing new to talk about there. And movies. I've been watching some documentaries. I recently started a documentary I made way back in the 70s called The Battle of Chile. And it's a documentary that chronicles the coup d'etat that Augusto Pinochet launched to overturn the democratically elected Salvador Allende. And it's based, so like the whole sort of basis is that the film basically starts during the elections that are happening a couple years into Allende's government. And so the guys are going around, they're asking, like, you know, who did you vote for? Who do you think is going to win? What do you think the percentages in the parliament are going to be? And the thing is, like, the right-wing opposition, they're absolutely convinced that they're going to win. That they've got the vast majority against what was called the Popular Unity, which was basically the government that was made up of a coalition that Allende was the leader of. With you know, the Socialist Party of Chile, there was also the Democratic Left. I think there was like a Social Democratic Party in there. I can't remember all of them. But what happens is the right opposition does not win the election, nor do they get the percentage that they want, because they wanted to get over 60% in Parliament so they could impeach Salvador Allende. Because Allende, by that point, because of the deadlock that had been happening in Parliament, he essentially would enact laws by decree, which included things like, you know, nationalizing. The big thing he wanted to do was nationalize the copper industry in Chile, which is specifically what pissed off, you know, Richard Nixon and the American government. And so, you know, the United States State Department starts pouring in funds to the right opposition. And even with all that, the right opposition still lose. Not only does the Popular Unity government stay in the majority power, they actually grow their power. They get more seats, deputies in parliament. And so as I'm you know, getting, as I was, you know, finishing the episode I was on, there were the right opposition was doing things like they decided to use their majority in the Congress to basically, you know, specifically do everything in their power to try and keep all of Allende's proposals from passing. Things like a ministry for families, a naval ministry, ministries for workers' control of their factories, which was one of the things that some of his supporters wanted, because as they talk about in with some of the workers that they're interviewing, some of the owners and bosses of the factories have basically locked out their workers, you know, and so the workers are like, look, they need to just nationalize the industry because otherwise we can't work. And there's this really ominous sort of like footage shot of Augusto Pinochet as he's, you know, sitting at his desk sort of going over the paperwork to keep the peace after the election happens. And as everybody knows, he's the guy who ends up leading the coup d'etat against Allende. It's really eerie and chilling because all these people, none of them realize the nightmare they're fixing to get introduced to. Like, not a single one of them knows. Weirdly enough, I have not seen Victor Jara show up yet either, but I'm pretty sure he's going to show up at some point anyway. That has been what I've been up to this week. Do you guys want to add anything else before we move on?
Nope.
Okay, then. Well, then, I think it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. Did you guys ever play Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
You know, like, there's even, like, TV shows and web series based around people's games and stuff. Got some other stuff beforehand. Like, for example, they put out Chainmail, which was sort of the predecessor to what would become Dungeons & Dragons. But there was actually another game that they put out there that unfortunately has often gotten kind of overlooked in spite of the fact that it is incredibly, and I really do mean this, incredibly elaborate with a very well thought out, extremely detailed fictional universe, all of which was created by one very gifted individual and game designer. And you could actually argue that he helped to create the modern RPG simultaneously with, you know, Gygax and Arnoldson. The game was called Tekumel, emulating sort of his world of Tekumel, kinds of odd, Middle Eastern type mixture of cultures. Basically, that part of the Rift War is dead cribbed from Tekumel almost entirely. And so the whole sort of backstory of Tekumel is that basically it's a planet around a fictional star that was settled by humans exploring the galaxy 60,000 years in the future, along with several other alien species. And then at some point after they've terraformed the planet, the planet then falls into a gravity well that basically spits it out into a pocket dimension, basically isolating it from the rest of the known universe. And so the whole world kind of breaks down, and it sort of goes into this sort of medieval stasis where they resort to the old feudal structure, but like the ruins of the old futuristic technology and, you know, the old aliens and stuff are still there. But because it's like this weird hodgepodge of different cultures from Earth, it ends up sort of blending in into this sort of unusual mixture of different Indian, Middle Eastern, Egyptian, and Mesoamerican different, you know, societies. And then there's these also alien races that are still around. The thing is, there is no magic in this universe. It's all purely technological, or it's like Clark's third law type thing, where, you know, any technology that's more advanced enough is sufficient for magic, is sufficiently indistinguishable from magic. And it ended up, anyway, the point, Gary Gygax himself ended coming around, getting to know Mr. Barker and becoming friends with him, as well as, getting to know his world of Techomel. And he convinced Professor Barker, he's like, hey, would you let me, publish your game with my company? Because, we recently put out, Dungeons and Dragons, and we're doing good money. He's like, you might be interested. He said, sure, why not? And so the second sort of fantasy board RPG that TSR ends up publishing is none other than Empires of the Federal Throne, which is the Techobell role-playing game. And the game is it's famously a lot more elaborate than Dungeons and Dragons is, because Dungeons and Dragons, as fun as it is, it's basically based around, a fairly simple formula of you and a bunch of adventurers going into a dungeon and then having an adventure, like that. Empires of the Petal Throne is like a combination of Dungeons and Dragons and Risk, because there's a lot of stuff like political intrigue that's involved. There's like huge battlefields of various armies fighting. It's got mechanics for a lot more elaborate play than just the simple adventure. It's actually really cool, and I'm kind of sad that it didn't end up growing out bigger than it did. But there's also a dark side to this, and unfortunately, I only found out about this week. So, you see, M.A.R. Barker was not the only name that he used when he was writing stuff. He also had another synonym that he would occasionally use, a synonym called Randolph D. Calverhall.
Okay.
He published in his lifetime 6 novels. The first 5 of them were all in the Techomel universe, but not the 6th. The 6th was a book called Serpent's Walk. It was a science fiction what-if book where what happened if, after World War II, the Waffen-SS, the Schutzstaffel, became an underground resistance after the end of the war, with their descendants rising up a century later to take over the United States of America with the tactics of their enemies, building their economic muscle and buying into the opinion-forming media. The publisher of this book was a company called National Vanguard Books. There's one other book that National Vanguard Books is infamous for publishing. It's their biggest seller.
What?
It's a little book called The Turner Diaries.
Where have I heard that from?
See, it turned out that underneath all this other stuff that he was doing, Professor Barker was also working for the National Alliance, the 90s largest neo-Nazi white supremacist group. He was also on the editorial advisory committee of Oracle Review, which was an advocate of both revisionist pseudo-history and, you guessed it, Holocaust denial.
Okay, that's why the Turner Diaries is ringing a bell. Never read it.
Would not recommend it.
No. No, 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 fuck no.
Not just because of its awful message, but because of someone who actually has... It's terribly written. Like, legitimately awfully written.
Oh, God.
Seriously, you think Ayn Rand is bad?
It was. Yes.
This is even worse. It's unreadable. And by the way, the reason you probably heard of it is... City Bombing.
Okay.
Yeah. This side of Mr. Barker wasn't discovered until around March of this year. The Techomel Foundation, which were the people that were given, decided to sort of carry on Mr. Barker's RPG work after he was gone and keeping, Techomel existing. They were not able to confirm all of this until this year, and an apology, just this year. It seems like even way back in the old days of nerddom, somehow that demon of neo-Nazism was somehow still there.
Yeah, I think we're going to start finding that it's seeping through cracks in many different places.
Yeah.
And has been for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like some sort of horrible, evil ooze.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Taco Bell, Empire at the Pedal Throne, created by M.A.R. Barker, a visionary world creator and game designer who also had a really nasty dark side. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. So, moving on from there, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our first major assholes of the week is the Oklahoma House of Representatives, who passed an anti-abortion bill to make abortions a felony.
Yep. So, this is a bill that makes abortions a felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison. A little discussion and no debate. The Republican-controlled House voted 70-14 to send the bill to the governor, who has said he'd sign any anti-abortion bill that comes to his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is one of the worst ones out there.
Uh-huh.
Makes an exception only for an abortion performed to save the life of the mother.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they'll care about the mother at that point. But yeah, a person convicted of performing an abortion would face up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. The penalties are for the doctor, not the woman. Oh. Cool.
Yeah, that's going to be a bug that they're probably going to work out very soon.
Yeah. Let's see. They finished this bill. Passed it the same day that there was a rally outside the Capitol in support of abortion rights.
Mm.
You can see how well that worked. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Also Tuesday, the Oklahoma House adopted a resolution to recognize lives lost due to abortion and urge citizens to fly flags at half-staff on January 22nd, the day the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion in the landmark 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, mourn beings that weren't human.
Yeah.
Weren't living at that point.
That were roughly the size of a garbanzo bean.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we're probably not going to know about that, the Supreme Court's decision on that other abortion case, probably not until June. So, buckle up, folks. We're in for a ride.
Yeah.
And just to add on to the house, all other assholery, we've got the other state that just continues to disappoint, Alabama. We have a saying here in Georgia, which is, thank God for Alabama. And of course, in Alabama, they got a saying that goes, thank God for Mississippi. And then Mississippi, they have a saying that goes, why the hell are we still in Mississippi? The Alabama legislature signed a bill to ban gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth.
Yeah, I believe this goes up to age 19.
Yeah. Which, by the way, by law, who is 19 is not considered a youth anymore.
Yeah.
They are an adult.
Yeah. Let's see. They also advanced a separate measure prohibiting early classroom instruction on sexual and gender identity. You know, similar to the Don't Say Gay bill that the Florida governor signed into law.
Mm-hmm.
This one was voted 66-28 to make it a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison for a doctor to prescribe puberty blockers or hormones or perform surgery to aid in the gender transition of people under age 19.
Fuck those people.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go to Governor Kay Ivey for her signature.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, and this is, let's see. Oh, yeah. Rep Neil Rafferty, the only openly gay member of the Alabama legislature, appeared to struggle to hold back his anger and maintain composure as lawmakers headed to the vote.
Mm.
Saying this is wrong. Y'all sit there and campaign on family being the foundation of our nation But what this bill is doing is totally undermining that. It's totally undermining family rights, health rights, and access to health care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. The sponsor, Rep. Wes Allen of Troy, Alabama, argued during a debate Thursday morning that transgender youth are not old enough to make decisions about gender-affirming medication.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, that's why they're talking to doctors.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. It says here, their brains are not developed to make the decisions long-term about what these medications and surgeries do to their body.
Mm.
Literally, there are plenty of medical organizations that affirm the safety and effectiveness of the drugs and the surgeries and all that stuff that they will do depending on the particular cases.
And when a body goes in there and says, I need a change, they don't just automatically start, you know, chopping and then popping pills and shit like that. There's a whole process. There's a whole fucking process. But, you know, they don't want to hear those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans.
The bill would also require school counselors, nurses, and others to tell parents if a child discloses they believe they are transgender.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, Arkansas approved a similar law last year. It was put on hold by the courts. Advocacy groups in Alabama vowed to quickly challenge the measure if Ivy signs it into law. And I got statements here from the ACLU. Also Jen Psaki talking about how the Department of Justice has warned states that such laws and policies may violate the Constitution and federal law. Saying today's vote in Alabama will only serve to harm kids. And the Alabama Senate also advanced separate legislation Thursday to relate to public school bathrooms and discussions of gender and sexual identity in early grades.
Yeah.
Voting 26-5 to approve legislation mandating that K-12 students can only use the multi-person bathrooms and locker rooms that correspond with the gender on their original birth certificate rather than their current gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, the Alabama language would, quote unquote, prohibit classroom instruction or discussion on sexual orientation or gender identity for students in kindergarten through fifth grade.
Mm.
So that's going further than the Florida law, which is up to third grade. Best teachers should do, they're like, well, we're going to stop referring to them as boys and girls. Those are gender identities.
No
she, pronouns, anything like that.
That is the best. It is the best kind of just the best kind of non-compliant of, malicious compliance you can think of. And keep in mind, this is also coming off the announcement that happened where I can't remember if it was, either Alabama or Mississippi there. Somebody's trying to make a new sort of class of marriage in their state that apparently only straight people could get. The problem is, and it could be a problem, it could have been a feature they intentionally tried to put in there. They didn't put an age limit in there.
Yeah, it's Tennessee.
Be one of them.
They put an amendment in there to put back in the 18 limit on there.
Yeah, after, you know, people pointed this out and they... It wasn't like they immediately did it. They basically tried to defend themselves. Until they realize, that we should probably put this in there. Yeah. But, it's already tainted the whole thing. But fortunately, we do have some heroes of the week, and here's our first hero. The Senate voted to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson for the Supreme Court.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 53-47. Which was higher than, like, the votes for any of the Trump judges, justices.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think Susan Collins, Mitt Romney, and Lisa Murkowski voted with the Democrats.
Yeah.
So there you go. So she will move into Breyer's spot in June, I believe, when their session starts. Yeah, that's great.
This
is only slightly longer than Amy Coney Barrett's, which was 30 days. This was 41.
Yeah.
mostly because there wasn't as much interest in delaying things.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, I will admit, like, I mean, but people had been saying for a while that, yeah, she was pretty comfortably going to get into, you know, the court because, you know, they had a majority in the House and also had a sort of majority in the Senate. But obviously there's those two little wild cards there. What a lot of people didn't expect was that three Republicans would actually also end up affirming her. And, yeah, and keep in mind, this is after, you know, the Republicans spent an entire week trying desperately to slander her.
Yeah, to try to say she is leaning on pedophiles and all this. It's like,
yeah.
Public defenders don't get to pick their cases.
Yeah.
They're supposed to, you know, do the job.
Yeah, it was shockingly transparent at how childish it was.
Which is now extending into these various transgender bills and marriage bills and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, they're trying to say that, you know, teaching health care to kids is grooming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not how that word works.
Well, that's where all those assholes on Twitter have been telling me, okay, groomer. And I'm like, motherfucker.
No.
Groomer's the author of that Tennessee bill who met his now current wife.
Yeah.
And she was in 4-H.
Yep.
Was one of the...
Wow.
The board or whatever for the group.
Yeah.
When she was like 14.
Uh-huh.
Married her as soon as she turned 18.
Yep.
When he's 43, something like that, 45.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yep.
And they have two kids now. She still looks way younger than him. That was 11 years ago, I think. 2011.
Yeah. Mm. Man. By the way, speaking of the Supreme Court, they also are some of our heroes of the week because they voted to make it easier to sue the police for malicious prosecution.
Yeah. When people, especially black people, get fake charges put on them just because they're black.
Yeah.
This is something to help deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, they made it easier to sue police and prosecutors for malicious prosecution, but the decision still leaves in place other barriers to such lawsuits. Let's see. At the center of this ruling is a case of diaper rash.
Mm.
Yes, it is true. Larry Thompson was living with his then fiance, now wife, and their newborn baby when his sister-in-law, who apparently suffered from mental illness, called 911 claiming that Thompson was abusing the baby.
Mm-hmm.
When EMT officers arrived, they were admitted to the apartment by the sister-in-law, but Thompson, unaware of her 911 call, told them they must have the wrong address. The EMT officers left but returned to the apartment with four New York City police officers. This time Thompson answered the door and refused to admit them unless they had a search warrant. Police then threw Thompson on the floor and handcuffed him while the EMTs examined the baby. The only marks they found were diaper rash, but the baby was taken to the hospital where the diaper rash diagnosis was confirmed.
Jesus.
Thompson, however, was tossed in jail for 2 days and charged with resisting arrest and obstructing governmental administration. Prosecutors would eventually offer him a plea deal in which his record would eventually be wiped clean, but he refused. Prosecutors subsequently dropped all charges without any explanation. Probably realizing they fucked up big time.
Yep.
Thompson sued, alleging malicious prosecution. Went to the federal appeals court, precedent in New York. Thompson had to prove that his innocence had been affirmed. Dropping charges without explanation was not enough. And so on Monday, the Supreme Court sided with him, declaring that he did not have to show an affirmative indication of innocence. That was 6-3 with three conservative justices, Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, joining the three liberals. Kavanaugh wrote the majority opinion, declaring that the plaintiff need only show that his prosecution ended without a conviction. And Thomas did that here. So it is a big deal, but not necessarily something that changes everything. But it's a welcome change.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. It is a welcome change. Again, we're all still sort of holding our breath for that abortion decision. But moving on from there, we are now starting the proper show proper. And of course, our first major story is the ongoing invasion of Ukraine by the Russian military. The first bit of news we got that is that both the United States, the European Union, and Group of Seven Nations have all announced brand new sanctions on Russia.
Yep. Let's see. U.S. sanctions target Russia's largest banks, families of top Russian officials, including Putin's adult children, state-owned entities, and any new investment in Russia by U.S. nationals.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of this, they secured a large yacht, I think a $90 million yacht belonging to one of the oligarchs that was mentioned in these sanctions. So they're already working quickly on that. But yeah, that's good news. Put more pressure on them as Russia is already feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Which has led to them doing more drastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just killing tons of people at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, the United Nations all voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. That's right. Russia was actually part of the Human Rights Council. That's kind of why they weren't able to really enact anything until now.
Yeah, they needed a 2/3 majority of the vote in order to pass.
And they got it.
93 in favor, 24 against, 58 abstentions.
Yeah, 58 had to abstain because they're really, really reliant on Russia for economic and infrastructure aid.
Yeah.
It sucks, but, you know.
Yeah, several countries spoke out against the resolution, such as China, Syria, and Cuba, whose representatives said the human rights were being politicized. Others abstained from the vote, including South Africa, whose representative said it did so because of a lack of due process in determining Russia's guilt.
Mm. Like I said. Yeah. honestly, it's at this point, we all know, kind of have an idea of how this might end up ending. Because as the economic situation in Russia gets worse, the oligarchs that basically keep Putin in power are going to be filling the squeeze. And eventually they're going to have to be the ones to tell him to get down, you know, to step down, or we do it for you. Or Putin might finally just completely snap and launch a nuke, which is what we don't want to happen.
Yeah,
2022 kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, who had World War III for their 21st century bingo card?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what everyone's trying to do. They don't want World War III because they know that's what's going to happen if things go south. But yeah, anyway. Next up, moving on from there for the rest of the show, we've got the IPCC final report on climate change. And basically, it tells us what we kind of already knew, which is that political bullshit is going to get us all killed.
Yep. We are moving closer and closer to the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold that scientists have been warning us about for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the only thing preventing us from really taking advantage of the solutions that we have currently is political will and status quo interests in fossil fuels.
Yep.
I was saying this is the third and final installment of the 6th UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's definitely things that we can do here. Wind and solar are now economically viable replacements for fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of wind and solar energy have dropped dramatically in the past decade and are now competitive with coal and gas for electricity.
Mm-hmm.
In some contexts, these renewable sources of energy are even cheaper than fossil fuels. Many countries have ramped up their installation of wind turbines, both on and offshore, and solar panels, whether on buildings or in huge solar farms that can power entire communities.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of electricity generated by renewables is growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
A recent report by the climate think tank Ember showed the world generated a record-setting 10% of its energy from wind and solar in 2021. The International Energy Agency said in a recent report that renewable energy capacity grew by more than 60%, or will grow by more than 60% by 2026 from 2020 levels. So we also need to ditch fossil fuels and fast.
Mm-hmm.
The world's energy systems must rapidly decarbonize.
Mm-hmm.
Ending fossil fuels subsidies could also reduce emissions by up to 10% by 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, the report was published after marathon talks between global representatives went well into Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
during which fossil fuel producing nations opposed to a declarative call to end the use of coal, oil, and gas in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
They did not name names, but you can probably guess a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, by 2050, electricity should contribute very little to greenhouse gas emissions, report concludes. If the world builds new fossil fuel infrastructure, it's at serious risk of locking in the use of coal, oil, and gas for decades to come, which will undermine efforts to contain global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to suck CO2 out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon dioxide removal can be achieved by planting trees and restoring forests and grasslands. Scientists say we must think beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Some critical forests, because of human activity, are already transitioning from absorbing carbon dioxide to emitting it. Some companies are developing machines that essentially act as giant vacuums, pulling carbon dioxide out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these technologies operate at a very small scale. The other way to achieve this is ocean fertilization,
mm-hmm.
where nutrients are added to the upper layers of water to encourage plankton blooms, which absorb carbon dioxide in the air. This has been proven to work,
mm-hmm.
but the method has not been studied for long enough to understand whether side effects like toxic algae blooms
mm-hmm.
may outweigh the benefits. Slashing methane is a quick way to turn down the heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's another point. The bulk of human-induced climate change comes from carbon dioxide, but methane makes up around 20% mm-hmm. of global greenhouse gas emissions and is the second biggest contributor to climate change. It has more than 80 times the warming power of CO2 in the short term.
Mm.
That comes from leaky oil, gas, and coal infrastructure and mines. It also comes from landfill and agricultural practices. And yes, even flatulent cows. The concentration of methane in the atmosphere is higher now than at any time in the last 800,000 years.
Mm.
That's another thing we can work on reducing. Individuals could also play an important role, but only with a political support. Individual choices in tracking your carbon footprint have been popular ways for people to respond to the crisis. There's a growing understanding that real change must come from reducing the availability of fossil fuels, not just demand.
Mm.
The way consumer choices are presented need to shift dramatically because it could help individuals adapt low carbon intensive lifestyles like plant-based diets, food waste reduction, and renewable energy options without ultimately pinning all the onus on them. The last one here, I believe, is about the rich world's financial contributions are falling short.
Mm-hmm.
Rate of climate finance, money that rich countries promised to provide developing countries to address the crisis, has slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Though policies have increased over the past several years, the report found wealthy nations must increase the flow of money to low-income nations beyond the existing $100 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
The least developed nations, as well as small island nations, have historically contributed less than 0.5% of global fossil fuel emissions, according to the report, yet they bear a disproportionate burden of the impacts of climate crisis.
Mm.
So, yeah. There's going to be your highlights of what the report is suggesting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all doable.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Which do you think is more likely to happen?
I mean, something's got to happen.
Yeah, we need to definitely move down on the fossil fuel use.
Mm-hmm.
Some way of getting more electric cars out there at affordable prices.
Yep.
And the limited way that they do tax credits and such has to be expanded rapidly.
Yep.
Making them unlimited and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in relation to people's income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be a big deal. Because then you get into the hands of the people that generally would not be able to afford electric vehicles unless they were to get very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you do that. And then also expanding the amount of charge stations out there and getting them out there at gas stations, any place where people are going to hang out for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, moving on from there, the Biden administration has extended the moratorium for student loans until August 31st. So, let's see, that's about a few months from now.
Yeah, it was set to go restart here in May.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it gives them more time. Seems at this point, it should just start canceling them wholesale.
Yeah.
I guess what's a way of getting more votes, especially with a midterm election coming up where there's a threat of losing the majority in the House and the Senate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Senate is made up of assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Amoral, power-hungry assholes who really have no moral compass other than what's good for me is good for me and damn the consequences.
And defeating the sentiment of, well, I paid my loans. You have to, too. You have to suffer with me. It's like,
how about you paid your loans because you're wealthy.
Or you got lucky with...
Yeah, yeah. Rich people don't have student loans. They paid them all off.
Yeah, you get lucky with scholarships and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Help minimize what you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find the right school that isn't charging an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
Which are growing more and more hard to get.
Yeah. Speaking of rich assholes, Elon Musk decided to become Twitter's biggest shareholder this week.
Yeah. He voiced recently his displeasure with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's an idiot.
Mm.
And so he responded by buying up 9% stake in Twitter, saying that's there's a threat to free speech on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the platform is undermining democracy, which is like, kind of is, but that's not for the way you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, filed a regulatory filing Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Describing himself as a long-term investor looking to minimize his buying and selling of the shares.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he also bought more than he said he was going to.
Mm.
And yeah, then they put him on the board for Twitter, which is, I think, wasn't supposed to be part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think there's some SEC kind of thing involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
So that might get investigated. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, oh, we're going to add an edit button. Like, no, it wasn't because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been talking about it for a few months now.
Yeah.
Of working on that.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to attribute it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs, more credit for things he
didn't actually invent. Which is kind of what he does, basically.
Yeah.
So he didn't found Tesla.
Nope, he bought it out from another person.
And made them sign an agreement to credit him as the founder.
Yep.
Which is how you do things when you are the sole creative person at a company. Is you just say, sign this agreement to say I'm the one that came up with all this.
Yeah. And now, moving on to some actual happy tech news. Solar panels that can actually generate electricity at night have been developed at Stanford University.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Developed a solar cell that can generate some electricity at night.
Mm-hmm.
While standard solar panels can provide electricity during the day, this device can serve as a continuous renewable power source for both day and nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
That incorporates a thermoelectric generator, which can pull electricity from the small difference in temperature between the ambient air and the solar cell itself.
Yep.
I was saying our approach can provide nighttime standby lighting and power in off-grid and mini-grid applications where solar cell installations are gaining popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Mini-grid applications refer to independent electricity networks that can be used when a population is too small or too far away to extend the grid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't until recently that solar energy declined in price and became much more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
California has even incentivized the shift to solar, as some companies and states have started investing into it. So yeah, it's good news.
Yeah, really good news. God, and it means we really are that much closer to getting towards genuine renewable energy. Because the biggest problem with solar panels is that, you know, they really can't, you know, they can do a lot of things, but they definitely have issues generating anything when the sun goes down. Now we got solar panels that can actually generate some electricity when the moon is out. And it's like, there we go, finally.
Yeah.
Now I'm guessing, you said it generates electricity. Say how?
It says it is able to generate electricity through a thermoelectric generator, which can pull electricity from the small difference in temperature between the ambient air and the solar cell itself.
All right. That's actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
Now, they can find a way to, you know, get that technology to be, more attainable. We're basically looking at the end of coal, pretty much. Yeah.
That's, that'll be good to see.
Yeah. And now for some not-so-good science news. For the first time ever, researchers found microplastics in the lungs of living people.
Yeah, microplastics, for people who don't know, are tiny pieces of plastic debris that have come as a result of the disposal of industrial waste, sort of been reduced into very small pieces. Mm-hmm. People found them in bloodstreams before that. It's not great, and this is research done at Hall York Medical School in England, published in the journal Science of the Total Environment. It's the first robust study to identify the plastics in the lungs of living people. The plastic had previously been found in human blood, excrement, and in the depths of the ocean. Microplastics have previously been found in human cadaver autopsy samples. I said one of the doctors there. We do not expect to find the highest number of particles in the lower regions of the lungs or particles of the sizes we found. They collected lung tissue from surgical procedures on patients as part of their routine medical care. This is surprising as the airways are smaller in the lower parts of the lungs. We would have expected particles of these sizes to be filtered out or trapped before getting this deep into the lungs. They identified 12 types of microplastics, which are commonly found in bottles, packaging, clothing, and twine, along with other manufacturing processes. Microplastics included polyethylene, nylon, and resins.
Yeah. So, you know how people have been complaining about all the plastic that's been in the ocean? It's not just in the plastic anymore. Now it's in the air you breathe.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's so prevalent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not even necessarily the fault of people with like trash and all that. A lot of that stuff in the ocean is from hurricanes and typhoons and all that kind of stuff, just sweeping this shit out to the ocean.
Which is all increasing because of?
Yep.
Exactly. Climate change. Yep.
This is like the health equivalent of people before us finding out that leaded gas and leaded paint was just really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Although this will, I think, be far more persistent for a much longer time than lead poisoning, basically.
Yeah. And I don't think they even like phased out leaded gas until like the late 70s, didn't they?
It was still going on in the 80s.
Damn. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last country to phase out leaded gasoline was, I think, in the last like 10 years or so.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I remember when it happened here.
Okay, it was actually last year.
After it was 19...
the rest of its stockpile of leaded gasoline in July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here in the Chicago area, it was 1984. I was 9 years old. I definitely remember.
Was it a big story then?
It was just a lot of hullabaloo because, you know, I was in family, in a family and associated with other families who worked in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of old people, you know, from the great generation who were still working factories and saying, this is bullshit.
So the man can't tell us what to do.
Wow. The more things change, exactly the more they say
like
the same.
That. Yeah, it was exactly like that. It's going to ruin my truck. I'm going to have to just, no, as soon as you don't put in the leaded gas, you just keep putting in lead-free, because it would say lead-free on the pump and unleaded.
Uh-huh.
You just keep putting that in instead and don't ever switch back to leaded. If I remember correctly, again, I was fucking 9.
Yeah.
So. Your concept of gas didn't exist then.
I just remember how very, very stinky it was. And, I mean, you would feel like you were kind of high every time you went to the gas pump.
I mean, and, I still do that.
Yeah. But it was definitely way worse back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the vehicles, you know, driving up and down the interstate, like every time a truck went by, you just like choke. There's absolutely zero doubt of where my asthma came from. And it came from being a child in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarette smoke included.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much cleaner now than it was when I was a kid, and people just don't see it and they don't smell it. But mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't go backwards.
Yeah.
Can't go backwards.
Nope. And now for another unfortunate piece of science news. There is a nasty, nasty bird flu epidemic that is tearing through the U.S. farms in at least 24 different states. Now, this one isn't as bad so far as the one that came in 2015.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty concerning when you have nearly 23 million birds dying mm-hmm. of it.
Yep.
It's 50 million, at least, in 2015.
Mm.
But yeah, this is a sort of thing if you're noticing less eggs or chicken
yeah.
in the grocery store, this is something.
Or why the prices today. Have gone up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really hard to find a decently priced bird. So when you do, buy two, put one in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, some birds have...
Yeah, keep going.
Some birds have died from the disease itself, but the vast majority are being culled to mm-hmm. try to stop the deadly and highly infectious virus from spreading. Mm-hmm. Even so much that zoos are trying to keep their birds inside. Penguins and emus and ostriches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, you're inside birds now, because we can't trust anybody.
It's really kind of scary. Yeah.
See, this is really one of the risks that you run when you base much of your agriculture, your livestock,
like a variety.
Yeah, around factory farming, because because you keep, you know, you get all those eggs, you get chicken from somewhere, and at the rate that we consume it, they have to basically pack them into these enormous warehouses of just thousands upon thousands of birds. And the thing about that is it makes them really, amongst other things, it makes them really susceptible to diseases like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And yeah, you don't have to worry about catching it from birds or from any meat you get.
Mm-hmm.
See, the virus does not pose a special risk in the nation's food supply. CDC states, like any poultry or eggs, proper handling and heating food to an internal temperature of at least 165 degrees Fahrenheit mm-hmm. kills any bacteria and viruses present, including this HPAI virus.
Mm-hmm.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza. There have only been 4 human infections of low pathogenic avian influenza viruses mm-hmm. ever in the U.S., any of those cases resulted in only mild or moderate illness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Now for some nice science news. 2 of Charles Darwin's original notebooks were returned after having disappeared 20 years ago. That's right, 20 years ago.
Yeah, these were returned to the Cambridge University Library.
Mm-hmm.
The one includes 1837 Tree of Life sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Were returned to the library last month, tucked in a bright pink gift bag, stacked together in plastic wrap. The notebooks were accompanied by three lines. Mm-hmm. Librarian, Happy Easter, X.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a police investigation ongoing. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out where the hell these were at. Yeah, they announced a public appeal to find the notebooks in November 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been missing long before the appeal. Librarians had assumed they'd just been misplaced. The library plans to put the notebooks on display in July as part of an upcoming exhibit called Darwin in Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Tree of Life sketch is said to reveal elements of Darwin's thinking before he fleshed out on the origin of species more than two decades later. So yeah, the library said the notebooks were first removed in 2000 from the special collection Strong Rooms, home to the rarest, most valuable items. A routine check in January 2001 revealed that the small box containing the notebooks was not returned to its rightful place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they just kind of lost track of them.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They even tried fingertip examinations, but still couldn't figure out even searching the entire Darwin archive, which includes more than 180 boxes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And moving on now to the entertainment portion of the show. It's official. Will Smith has been banned from attending the Oscars for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, he got his Oscar, so he doesn't need to come back.
So he can't even be Jada Pinkett Smith's plus one.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, the Board of Governors voted to ban Smith from all Academy events, including the Oscars, for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Will Smith responded by saying, "I accept and respect the Academy's decision." Let's see. Yeah, that's about all they could really do. They're not going to take an Oscar back because, you know, it's a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
Letting people like Harvey Weinstein, Roman Polanski, and others that have done awful shit keep theirs. Even if they've been expelled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Expelled from this little whole Academy. So yeah, it's of the end of the talk because I don't have any interest in continuing to see people talking about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because who fucking cares at this point?
Yeah. Again, it's not even the worst thing that happened at the Oscars. Last week we talked about the thing that happened when Marlon Brando won for Best Actor for The Godfather, but he decided to send her. Have you ever watched the footage of it? Because you can watch the footage of it on YouTube. Yep. On YouTube.
Oh, yeah. She was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah. And handled it wonderfully, considering all the assholes were booing her.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you don't see it, but apparently John Wayne was back and six security personnel had to hold him back from insulting her.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, and that makes an impression.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his views had already been well known since the 60s.
Yeah.
Finally, last story for the night, the Warner Brothers acquisition of Discovery has completed.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually Discovery's acquisition of Warner.
Mm.
Their board essentially takes over as the head of essentially what is called now Warner Brothers Discovery. They're even using the like classic Warner Brothers logo of the shield and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now all the properties owned. Let's see, HBO, HBO Max, CNN, Warner Brothers, DC Films, New Line Cinema, TBS, TNT, True TV, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Turner Sports, Rooster Teeth, Discovery Plus, Discovery Channel, HGTV, Food Network, TLC, Investigation Discovery, Travel Channel, Turbo/Velocity, Animal Planet Science Channel, and OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, has a $43 billion deal. AT&T still has part ownership of this company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're using proceeds from this spinoff to pay down their net debt, which stood at $156 billion at the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the people running Discovery get to run this new company.
Mm.
So yeah, they'll have more shit to throw at you.
Mm.
As I believe Discovery already has a streaming service that I assume will be merged into HBO Max or whatever they do with that whole thing in the future.
Yeah, it's like, how am I going to watch my Adult Swim stuff? That's what I want to know. That's what all this shit boils down to.
Dig past all
to.
Of the Discovery reality show shit.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. So, yeah, that'll be even more shit to put in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I do believe we have ourselves a show, folks. Yeah, yes, we do. Surprisingly short one, but it was good to have Teresa back. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up here. As always, our thoughts are still with the people of Ukraine and Russia. Hope that somehow, hope against all hope, this all ends very soon. As always, we would also say if you have not yet been vaccinated, we would encourage you to do so. And if you feel like you need a booster, please get one. Don't hesitate. Because even though it still seems like we might be on the downward pandemic, there are, you know, it's still happening. And new cases, new cases are still appearing. So, you know, it won't be over for good until we've all been properly immunized. But yeah. So that's been our show. Join us again next week with a little bit of more silliness. Good night, everybody.